Well, on a bit of a sad note, we've of course seen many of Australia's legendary athletes, I guess, have trouble coping with life after their careers. Swimmers such as Stephanie Rice and Grant Hackett been quite open about how they've struggled to adjust to a new lifestyle. And of course, the tragic death of Wallaby Dan Vickerman in February last year kind of threw the question out there that whether there should be a lot more support available. Over the weekend, we saw legend Ian Thorpe proposing a new mentoring program for Australian athletes of all sports, helping them cope not only with the pressure of performing and the transition from sport to normal life, but everything in between. He wants to involve big names such as Cathy Freeman, Leighton Hewitt and Tim Carl, and he thinks their experience is underused and is going to be of a lot of benefit for Australian sportsmen and women. Now, Andrew Martin is Professor of Educational Psychology at the Uni of New South Wales. Andrew, good morning.
Good morning, Nick.
Look, why do we think so many athletes on that elite level struggle so much, I guess sometimes during but definitely after their careers?
Yeah, and so as an educational psychologist, we look at this sort of stuff when the seeds are sown in childhood and then through adolescence. We see a lot of ways of thinking and ways of behaving during those years that are set in place. That when you which is fine for elite competition and the blowtorch of competition and to some extent fine in the narrow channel you're on for a few years, but then when you come to retirement and you've got to make that transition to often a very different life, that narrow channel that you've been defined within, it's very hard to make that transition. And so we actually do look at a lot of high ability kids, high ability adolescents, and what things we can, what are some of the traps that coaches, parents, teachers and so on can fall into as they develop their talent, but also some of the things that can make it difficult to make that transition post the elite sporting phase.
So I guess it's about making sure that they've got, coping skill sets that are adaptive and not just specialised for competition.
Yeah, that's right. And so we've identified a number of factors during this time that are important to keep an eye on with kids and adolescents. And one of them that you've just touched on is that if they have a very narrow self-identity through these years and they just define themselves and see themselves in that narrow channel of performance, again, that might work for the few years you're in that channel. But once you move out of that channel, they are often quite lost. They don't know themselves. They don't have other irons in the fire with regards to other skills and other pathways in life, and it can be quite a wilderness that they'll find themselves in for a few years there.
Look, certainly in a country such as Australia, where we tend to revere athletes quite significantly, I think the pressure facing these young people as it's shown that they're excelling in these fields must be just enormous.
Yeah, it is, and that sets up a lot of what we find is sort of negative psychological dynamics. And so one of them can be intense fear of failure because kids and adolescents learn that a lot of approval and affirmation and celebration comes their way when they achieve highly. It's good, that's great while you're winning, but if you're losing in inverted commas or there's the threat of poor performance, many can move into quite problematic ways. So, and it ranges from cheating, and I guess there's a
good
example
timing on
of that happening
yeah.
right now. You know, the fear of failure can manifest in many ways. Perfectionism is another response to fear of failure, where you reduce the chance of failing by trying to removing any chance of failure. And sometimes dropping out altogether is another response to a fear of failure. So you can't lose if you're not in the game. And so you're right. The pressures that this puts in people's heads. And again, a lot of this perspective and sometimes lack of perspective is again we find developed in the early years.
Look, you know, the eyes of Australia are on our elite athletes, especially when they start to excel from such a young age. I mean, they can be 17, 18, 19 and expected to being these paragons of kind of sporting prowess and heroes to people. Are we in any way preparing them for, I guess, fame is the only way I can think of to put it.
Yeah, I guess, and to some extent, no, because I think once it is what I've seen standing on the sidelines of these, once fame hits, it engulfs you, it's not too late, but the preparation for it, I think, and you don't know it's coming, and you don't know when it's coming or if it's coming, and so. But one of the things with fame and notoriety is it's important for the individual not to tether their worth as a person to the fame that they've been that they're attracting at that particular time, because when your worth as a person and how good you feel about yourself is tethered to that sort of thing and also tethered to winning, then you're very vulnerable, because the minute that turns on you, and at some point the fame will turn off and the winning will in that channel will turn off, because you've tethered your self-worth to that, then when that all stops, you feel worthless. And again, we find that a sense of worthlessness coming out of elite performance is not uncommon.
Andrew, what do you think of Ian Thorpe's proposal? Should the sort of, you know, greater sporting community be doing more to assist the younger members and even people kind of moving out of that actual professional sports phase?
Yeah, look, I think that's a great idea. And I think, but I would look to have these sorts of things cutting in quite early, because a lot of our self-conceptions and beliefs about ourselves and beliefs about success and failure and so on, they're fairly well established by sort of mid to late teens, and so a program getting in at younger ages has a great chance to make inroads into the attitudes and values about yourself and about sport, winning and losing, and what you take from it and learn from it. That cuts in, pre-adolescence, dare I say. So any mentoring program can reach down there will get some good traction leading up to the points that you really need it.
So it's almost more of a systemic change in our attitudes as much as anything.
Yeah, I agree. And schools are a great place. Sporting clubs are a great place for that sort of stuff. And also the home to have courageous and constructive views of mistakes. So mistakes don't mean you're hopeless, you're no good, and so on. Mistakes are a genuine growth opportunity. And also, when success comes your way, it doesn't make that child a better person. They're not more worthwhile because they've succeeded. Celebrate the effort that went into that. That's great. But it doesn't make them a better person. In so doing, you tether success to effort and not to self-worth.
Andrew, thank you so much for your time this morning.
It's a pleasure.
Andrew Martin there, Professor of Educational Psychology at the Uni of New South Wales, suggesting that maybe it's not just a matter of helping people when they're at that elite stage, making sure we're prepping them from a very early age. Interesting.